Now, reading Europe, Germany, look who's back. Radio 4 continues its journey across Europe, exploring the best in contemporary literature, with part two of the hugely popular German satire by Timur Vermesh, adapted for radio by Marcy Kahan and starring David Threlfall as Adolf Hitler.
Hello to England and her colonies. Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Canada, Australia, the Bahamas. This is Hitler, Adolf. I am speaking to you at the invitation of the British Broadcasting Propaganda Corporation. My purpose in addressing you this afternoon will soon become clear. In the meantime, there are two facts you must know. One, I am Hitler, Adolf. Two, I'm back. How is this possible, I hear you ask? I have no idea, and even less interest. I was there, now I'm here. As they say in modern-day Berlin, get over it. Within weeks of finding myself alive in Berlin in the year 2011, I had been engaged by the television production company Flashlight to deliver a short monologue on their prime-time comedy show. This is all it took. I became a YouTube sensation. A Führer is nothing without his cohorts. At this point, my cohorts numbered three.
Come in, Herr Hitler.
There was Frau Carmen Bellini, the executive producer at Flashlight.
We're cutting Gag Mez's airtime. We'd like you to end each show with one of your fabulous orations.
But Frau Bellini, the program is called the Ali Gag Mez Show.
Even so, you're the one getting the hits on YouTube.
So much for Gag Mez. I listened to suggestions from my production team for new material.
What about a short film? The Führer pays a visit to the bank.
I prefer to keep the capitalists at arm's length.
You know better than us, Herr Hitler. Where would you like to go?
Short films on the dangers of speeding motorists and the barbaric custom of hunting.
That is good. Unexpected.
And abortions. Assuming 50% of these fetuses are boys, that's a loss of three divisions in the medium term.
Abortions in a comedy show.
You'll be wearing your uniform when you interview people, won't you, Herr Hitler?
My uniform, of course.
Well, think about it. It might work.
It will work. Assemble a camera crew ASAP.
Here I am outside a typical Berlin kindergarten. I wonder if you can hear me with all these child killers thundering past. And over there is a typical German mother. She has collected her child from the school. They are attempting to cross the road. Excuse me, madam. Do you agree with me that the behavior of these evil-minded motorists is endangering the life of your child?
Well, I suppose so.
Now, why doesn't our freely elected government mete out harsher punishments to these thoughtless drivers?
I don't know.
Well, we will change this. You and I, for Germany.
Who are you exactly?
Who do I look like? Now, please, take the law into your own hands. What would you do to these four-wheeled maniacs? A firing squad, or should they be tortured first?
Look, it's all right. As fine as it is, I'm perfectly happy.
Ah, and there goes another one, scurrying away. Draw your own conclusions, all you viewers. The innocent bulk of this so-called democracy, living in fear, not daring to speak up when approached by me in my plain soldier's uniform. Here is my second cohort, my hard-working secretary, Fraulein Krohmeier.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't be doing my makeup, should I? But I have finished for the day.
The only room for improvement was her appearance, which is not to say the Führer is incapable of seeing beneath the surface. You take von Ribbentrop, a model example of the master race. Perfect chin, superb genetic material. But ultimately, the man was a twit. Even so, I needed to speak up. What does your fiancé think, Fraulein Krohmeier? The black wardrobe? The dark blue lipstick?
Fiancé? That would be nice. No, at the moment, mein Führer, there isn't, like, anybody. Because 4 weeks ago, I personally told that douchebag where to get off. OMG, we can't have that in Führer headquarters. What I meant was, the man was an absolute Schweinehund, mein Führer.
We are not in Führer headquarters exactly, Fräulein, but even so, there will be no more douchebags or even Schweinehunds in this room. As you can hear, she began weeping. Empathy in wartime is an unnecessary distraction, but we are not at war, as evidenced by the availability of paper handkerchiefs. I handed one to the sobbing Fräulein. Come.
Just, I like, really loved him.
She retrieved her telephone and showed me a photograph of the Schweinhund. Fräulein, I am not surprised this relationship ended unhappily.
Like, why?
Fräulein, he is tall and blonde. He needs a wife who exudes the wholesome spirit of National Socialism. Look at yourself through the eyes of this blonde member of the master race. In 1916, I saw corpses on the Western Front that looked jollier than you.
Like, really?
Absolutely. Why don't you wear more cheerful clothes? A gay blouse, a pretty skirt, bright summer frock. What is funny?
Me? Like, going around in a little dress like Heidi of the Alps? Funny image. Oh, that's so sweet of you to, like, cheer me up. Right, I'm off home. Have a nice evening, mein Führer.
Excuse me.
Here was the third member of my cohort, young Frank Sawatzky.
I expect you're busy this evening, Herr Hitler.
Me? No, not really. I was planning to work on my designs. A new space airport for Berlin.
Oh. Right, it's just, well, there's a restaurant nearby that's vegetarian.
I shall accompany you. Even the Führer must sometimes eat. Yes, this is good. Well-cooked vegetables.
Don't you think that you take your art too far? I mean, no one would notice whether you're really a vegetarian.
It's a question of well-being. Think about it. Where is Stalin?
Dead, I'd say.
Roosevelt, Petain, Antonescu, Horthy.
The first two are dead. Never heard of the others.
Well, they are dead too. And what about me?
You're not dead.
Precisely. Chalk one up for vegetarianism.
Clever. Aren't you going to write it down?
Why bother? I know it. Where do you come from?
Bonn. I studied in Cologne.
Ah, Rhinelander. And an educated Rhinelander to boot. Are you married?
Me? No. More like interested. There is someone.
You must be bold and go all out for total victory. No wavering. Onward. Quick march. Listen, there's something you might help me with.
Anything.
What makes you angry?
Angry?
In this modern society, what really gets your blood boiling?
Ah, the usual stuff. Racism, injustice.
Anything else?
People who cough without covering their mouths.
You mean immigrants?
Everyone. It's just so inconsiderate.
Dear Sawatzky, with his short hair sticking up cheekily and his alert expression. Here was a man who would have accompanied me to prison, to the Reich Chancellery, to the Führer bunker. Next morning found me breakfasting on muesli and orange juice with linseeds. Hitler?
Have you read the paper yet?
Not yet, Frau Bellini. Which paper are we talking about?
The one with your picture on the cover.
There it was. Front cover of Bild. My photograph under the headline...
Loony YouTube Hitler. Fans go wild for his tirades.
Now, for the benefit of all you BBC listeners, I must explain that Bild is a tabloid newspaper very like your Sun. Only Bild has photos of naked women on its page one.
This comedian, dressed up as Adolf Hitler, is venting hatred of foreigners on the Ali Gagmez show. Politicians of all parties and the Central Council of Jews have voiced their objections.
Good. Let them object.
No one knows the real name of this comedian who bears a terrifying resemblance to the Nazi monster. Bild promises to monitor this case closely.
I'm disgusted. They did
It's on your newspaper. Of no interest to me.
Listen, I need you to tell me, hand on heart, is there anything which the hacks at Build might unearth to use against you?
Frau Bellini, I have done nothing in my life of which I am ashamed.
So you were never a member of a right-wing party?
I was practically a founder member. Number 555. In 1919, I even came up with the membership rules. We invented the first 500 to make the numbers look better.
Did you say 1919?
Yeah, that's when I joined. You can only join a party once unless you leave it, and I certainly never left mine.
I think we can live with that. In fact, I would pay to see the headline, YouTube Hitler fudged party entry in 1919.
Return to your post, then. Hold your position. We will not surrender a meter.
Jawohl, mein Führer.
The television show was all well and good, but I was impatient to make a political impact. I soon learned that modern-day Germany contains a self-styled right-wing party, the NPD. I went round to their headquarters immediately, with Franz Kavatsky and a cameraman.
Impossible. Look at it. A miserable hovel.
No, it's the right address. Look, here's the nameplate. NPD Party Headquarters.
A nameplate? Where are the banners? Cameraman, start filming.
Recording.
Can I help you?
What do you think?
Have you got a permit to film?
Oh, stop that dreadful whining. Get out of my way, boy. Look at this place. It's a squalid dump.
I'd better call someone.
You do that.
Hello? We've got a situation here. They're filming inside. I know I should chuck him out, but he looks like Adolf Hitler. He's got the uniform and everything.
The uniform and everything? This boy's a cretin.
Excuse me. He wants to know, are you the madman off YouTube?
Tell your leader to come and face me in person.
He says you should come down.
Give me that phone!
This is your Führer. I marched into Poland. I marched into France. Now I have marched into your pathetic headquarters and I demand to see your Reichsleiter. I have all the time in the world.
He's not serious, is he? I'm off at 4.
It's okay. Keep filming. If we need to, we can replace it.
Don't worry. The chairman will be here in half a mo.
Half a mo.
Listen to yourself. Are you as swift as a greyhound? Tough as leather? Hard as steel?
Me?
No, you are slow as a snail, as fragile as an old man's bones, as soft as butter. Stop smoking, you smell like cheap ham.
Hey, Hitler.
It's the big cheese.
My name is Apfel. Holger Apfel, Federal Chairman of the National Democratic Party of Germany.
Democratic? Now that the Führer is back, there is no need for democracy.
Even so, we are fully committed to the Constitution.
Take a seat. We need to talk. So, you represent the national cause here, do you?
I have to. I mean, it's a long time since you were looking after things.
And what have you been doing in the interim?
We represent Germans in Mecklenburg, Western Pomeria and Saxony.
Have you read my book?
Your book is not easy to come by in Germany. Could we turn the camera off for a bit?
No. Show me in your brochures any mention of the idea of racial purity.
Look, I'm always stressing that Germany should be for the Germans.
Germany, a dwarf state compared to the Reich I established.
We dispute the legitimacy of the treaties recognizing the borders.
You see what I just did? That is the amount of time needed to quit the League of Nations. We dispute the legitimacy. Snivelling nonsense. Quit the League, arm yourself, then take what you need. Where do you stand on the racial question?
Okay. Having a German passport doesn't make you a German. You're German by birth. That's what it says.
Again, with your legal formulations. Where is the pimply young man? You, get over here. Did you vote for this so-called democratic dumpling?
Me?
Listen to him. Come on, Savatsky. Cameraman, keep filming. We're out of here.
We left the hovel and were greeted by a sea of microphones.
What are you talking about, Herr Hitler?
Are you going to stand for the NPD? Have you joined their party?
Joined their party? Certainly not. A bunch of sissies. The NPD is no place for an upstanding German.
I am not often mistaken. But with this spilt affair, I confess I had misread the situation. I had assumed those press vermin would be all over my policies, my speeches. Instead, they photographed me drinking tea at the newspaper kiosk.
Loony YouTube Hitler. In the evenings, he rails on telly against foreigners and politicians. By day, he puts away his uniform and hangs out with his drinking buddies.
I went round to the kiosk at once. The kiosk was the place where I had first found refuge. The owner had given me clothing, shelter.
One at a time! There's enough for everyone!
I have come to apologise, but perhaps there is no need.
It's great timing. I've never sold so many papers. They all want the built. Grab a felt tip pen, get signing. Yes, by all means, go over. Herr Hitler won't bite.
So here they were, the Volk, assembled in a not very orderly line.
There, please, across the photo, for Helga.
Could you say something about the Kurds next time?
Do you remember 1935, Nuremberg? I was in the window watching you march by. Oh, we were so proud of you. You haven't changed one bit.
Nor have you.
Of course, I had no memory of this old woman, but her loyalty had a charm all its own. This demonstration of trust by the Volk stood me in good stead when I read Bild the following morning.
Loony YouTube Hitler. Special Bild poll. Now Germany votes. Option 1. Enough. Get the YouTube Hitler off our screens. Option 2. No, he's not funny and I no longer watch my TV. Option 3. Never seen him. Not interested in that Nazi rubbish.
There you have the bourgeois gutter press, still infected by the spirit of the Jews. At the production office, development executive Zenzenbrink was in a tailspin.
We're toast. We're going to have to grant Bild an interview.
By contrast, Frau Bellini was positively blooming.
No, Herr Zenzenbrink, nobody pays attention to a silly newspaper poll.
The poll? Who cares about the poll? Have you seen the latest edition? Fraulein Krohmeier is in the office crying her eyes out.
Front page of Bild. An enlarged, blurry photo of me and my respectable secretary, Fraulein Krohmeier, leaving the office at the same time.
Loony YouTube Hitler, the Nazi comedian, who still refuses to tell Germany his name, is conducting a sordid affair at twilight with a girl half his age.
Fraulein Krohmeier?
Do you know what sort of emails I'm getting?
I bear full responsibility.
And really nasty snail mail. Photos of men's dicks.
Nobody knows better than I do the sacrifices that have to be made for the future of Germany.
Put a sock in it, okay? This is not about the future of Germany. It's my life these assholes are messing up with their lives.
I cannot put a sock in it, nor do I wish to put a sock in it. I will defend to the very last what I believe to be right. Providence has put me here, for Germany, until the last round is fired.
Last round?
Whether you like it or not, we are at war. You see how nasty this build can be, Frau Krohmeier. I am proud of you. But even so, should you wish to withdraw, I am sure that Flashlight would find you a different posting. It's up to you.
Like hell I will, mein Führer.
I return to the conference room.
I have made a decision. I will grant Bild an interview.
Excellent.
Tell them to meet me at the Adlon, and they can pay.
Pay? That's unlikely.
As a matter of principle, Herr Zenzenbrink, I refuse to squander our money, which is the Volk's money, on journalistic scum.
The Adlon Hotel. I entered the private meeting room, flanked by Zenzenbrink and Savatsky. A blonde woman in a suit was waiting.
Good afternoon.
Pleased to meet you. Uta Kassler from Bild. I was expecting the Nazi salute.
Ah, but I know you better than you know me. I was not expecting a Nazi salute from you. Now, which one of us was right?
What drivel. But this kind of inane burbling is what journalists expect.
I'm delighted you found time for us. You don't mind if we record this interview?
Yeah, not if you don't. Savatsky, you do what you need to do.
I'm on it. Recording.
Well, Frau Kassler, what would you like to know?
How about your name?
Hitler Adolf.
Your real name?
My dear young lady, How dumb must any politician be who gives the Volk a false name?
In that case, would you be so kind as to show us your passport?
Do you ask to see the passports of all your interviewees?
Only those who claim to be called Adolf Hitler.
Throughout my life, I have always refused special treatment. I eat from the same field kitchen as any other soldier.
On television, you speak about highly controversial topics. Foreigners, abortion.
I say what the simple man is feeling, what he would say if he were in my place.
Is it true that you admire Adolf Hitler?
Only in the mirror every morning.
Okay, let's be more precise. Do you admire the achievements of Adolf Hitler?
Do you admire the achievements of Uta Kassler?
We're not getting anywhere. Look, I'm not dead, am I?
You may be sorry to hear this, but neither am I.
Do you deny the deeds of the Nazis?
On the contrary, I'm the first to refer to them. I never tire of it.
But do you condemn them?
Well, that is the marvelous thing about the Fuhrer state. Not only is there someone responsible before and during it, but afterwards too.
For 6 million dead Jews as well?
Or for them especially.
Nowadays you make jokes about it on television.
Jokes? The Jews are no laughing matter.
Let's stop there. I don't get the impression that you came here today in an especially cooperative frame of mind.
I do not recall that our advanced negotiations included a secret protocol.
You'll read about this.
So that was short and sweet.
Not good. Not good at all. She left with a warm bowl of nothing.
She will write what she likes. My main objective is for them to leave Fraulein Krohmeier alone.
How is Fraulein Krohmeier?
Like the Volk of the Reich. The more the enemy drops his bombs, the more fanatical her resistance becomes.
Loony YouTube Hitler tells Bild, I am a Nazi. Wearing an offensive lounge suit, the Nazi Joker, who calls himself Adolf Hitler, pretends to be an honest citizen.
Are you a Nazi?
Of course.
Giving him no slack, Bild elicits this outrageous confession.
Do you condemn the murder of 6 million Jews?
Why should I? I am the one responsible.
Bild says, this is not satire, it's incitement to hatred. When is the law going to get involved?
At Flashlight Productions, Frau Bellini convened an emergency meeting. Sensenbrink, as usual, was jumping out of his skin.
Are you insane? We're going to end up in court.
I will not tolerate shouting.
Then I'll whisper it. Couldn't you remember Frau Bellini's warning? The Jews are no laughing matter.
That's exactly what he told them, but they didn't include it.
And remember, Herr Sensenbrink, everything he says on that recording, he's speaking as Adolf Hitler. So there's nothing false about his statement that Hitler was responsible for the death of 6 million Jews.
Don't let Himmler hear you say that.
We must make sure that all our viewers know who the baddie is.
So who is the baddie? Goebbels?
Bild!
Bild? Well, I don't see how.
We have proof. I took this photograph. Look!
We all looked. That was the moment when I realized that I no longer missed that genius Goebbels.
So, Herr Hitler, are you ready to go into action?
Ready and eager, Frau Bellini. Our conflict with Bild will be brought to a decisive end tomorrow night.
The morning of Bild Day, or B-Day, as I like to call it.
Ah, I've been looking for you. I've left some prototypes on your desk. Have a look.
Thank you, Herr Sawatzki.
We return fire at 22:57.
Good to see my underlings getting into the right spirit.
Fraulein Krohmeier, Herr Sawatzki has left me prototypes.
Has he? Oh, you mean those coffee mugs and T-shirts?
I expected something more provocative.
What do you think of Herr Sawatzki, mein Führer?
Enterprising.
Oh, he's a real sweetie. But OMG, don't tell him I said that. But what about you? It's a big night. Are you nervous?
Nerves are for amateurs.
Never trust a foreigner!
And now, to preserve the multicultural balance, I give you Germany from the perspective of a German, Adolf Hitler.
Recently, on more than one occasion, I have been obliged to read things written about me. I am used to that from the lying scum of the liberal press. But now, too, from a paper
which makes critical comments about foreigners, Greeks, Turks, Africans. Now it is I who am criticized in that paper. But ultimately, it is the deed which determines the truth. And the lie. The lie is... Bildt is trying to convince you that it is my bitter enemy. The truth you can see here.
I pointed at Savatsky's photograph. Magnified, I have no idea how, from my tiny phone onto an enormous screen.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Frau Kassler from Bildt at the Hotel Adlon paying my bill. That's right. Bildt finances the Führer.
When I got back to my office, I realized why Savatsky had been so excited by his prototypes. Each coffee mug, each t-shirt, each keyring bore the slogan, Bildt finances the Führer. It only took 3 days for Bildt to surrender. I was celebrated on the front page.
Today's mover and shaker is none other than Adolf Hitler.
For each favorable mention of me, we withdrew one item of merchandise from the market. It was 1933 all over again. No one dared criticize the Führer. So, imagine my consternation when I arrived at my office a week later. There was Sensenbrink in the corridor, his face the color of cigarette ash.
You're wanted in the conference room immediately. I have to get back there.
Fräulein Kohlmeier, can you shed some light?
They're all here, Herr Hitler. Every single executive, including Herr Kahner himself.
Who is this Kahner?
The big cheese, the boss of the whole company. If there's a major disaster, that's when Kahner appears. Here, glucose tablet.
Thank you.
You better go.
Tactics, Fräulein Kohlmeier. I will not be hurried.
Along the corridor, the entire company was watching my slow progress towards the conference room.
Herr Kahn, I don't think you've met Herr Hitler.
No, I haven't. Hello. Now, can we hear what this is all about? I have another meeting.
This isn't official yet, so I'd ask you to keep the cone of silence on it for the moment. But I have it from an absolutely reliable source.
Have what?
Herr Hitler is getting the Grimm Prize.
Are you sure of that?
Someone called him in as a late nomination. He steamrolled the rest of the field.
Wow! Tremendous news.
Herr Hitler, you're fantastic.
Jubilant workers poured into the room. Without wishing to extinguish the joy from their beaming faces, I needed clarification.
The Grimm. Is this anything like the Nobel?
It's the Nobel Prize of the television industry.
Ah.
Awarded to the television production that uses the medium in a truly extraordinary manner.
Ah.
Speech!
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 Speech! Speech!
Speech! Speech! Speech! Speech!
Expectant faces, gazing up at their award-winning Führer.
My fellow Germans, this triumph is gratifying and well-deserved. We have driven larger productions from the battlefield. More expensive ones. Even international ones. But in this hour, we also need to remember the victims who have sacrificed their blood for our cause.
I'm sorry? I know nothing about this.
That's when I realized I had absent-mindedly slipped into the routine I used after Blitzkrieg victories. Fortunately, Fräulein Kohlmeier to the rescue.
It's lovely you should be thinking of her.
Who?
Frau Clement, from accounts. It was only last week that she, lost the battle.
Frau Clement, of course. Well, we've all been thinking about her, yes. Please, Herr Hitler, continue.
The consciousness that I personally was assigned by Providence to give Flashlight back her freedom and honor, this moves me greatly. I now must finish by mentioning those anonymous people who risk life and limb as upstanding German officers and soldiers.
Whoops.
As upstanding
I had done it again.
German directors
and cameramen, as upstanding lighting technicians and makeup people who make the ultimate sacrifice that directors and lighting technicians can make. Many of them now lie at rest beside the graves where lies their fathers from far greater television productions who stood up for the future of the great German company Flashlight. Sieg!
Heil!
Sieg!
Heil!
Sieg!
Heil!
Next morning, I awoke early. I wanted to have the city to myself on this crisp autumn day. In the park, squalidly dressed Berliners were walking their dogs. I was getting used to the spectacle of them gathering up the canine excrement in tiny bags. Birds serenaded me. Ah, just listen. The Flashlight Production Company. It is a very special experience to enter a silent place where one has recently experienced an overwhelming triumph. But something was not quite right. A light emanating from my office.
Fräulein Krohmeier, you seem to be packing up your things.
I've got something to tell you, I can't salute you anymore. And I can't work here. I just can't do it.
Tell me what's wrong.
Why can't you do different stuff? You know, imitate celebrities. Or just strut about doing funny accents.
You want me to strut about?
Yes. Or just insult people. It doesn't even have to be funny. Why do you always have to be Hitler?
It's not something one can choose. Providence sets
us in. Oh, Providence. You and Providence. Here. I've typed up the ad. Internal recruitment. You'll have your replacement in no time. Tons of people ready to jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, that's enough about bandwagons. You must tell me what is wrong. Now.
I was at my nan's yesterday.
I'm none the wiser.
I love my nan. I lived with her for almost a year when my mum was ill. So I went to see her yesterday and she was like, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm working for a real star. And she was like, who? And I was like, Adolf Hitler. And my nan absolutely flipped out. She lost it. Then she starts crying and she's like, what that man does is not funny. We can't have people like that around.
Ah, I see.
No, you don't see. And I'm like, but nan, it's satire. And she's like, no, he's just the same as Hitler always was. And people laugh then too. So I'm sat there thinking, she's never said much about the war, bet she's in a tiz because she went along with a lot of it.
Exactly.
Then she gave me this. Here. That's a copy. You should have seen the way she handled the original. Like it was the last photo in the world.
A man, a woman, two young boys somewhere in the countryside. I surmise that this was the family. The father, a little over 30, short, dark hair, clearly an athlete. His wife, blonde, decidedly attractive. The boys were sporting paper hats, made from a newspaper, I expect, posing with wooden swords, smiling. Someone had written at the bottom of the photo, Wannsee, summer 1943.
An impeccable family, Fräulein Krohmeier.
My nan's family. Her dad, her mum, her two brothers.
So, who died?
They all did. 6 weeks later.
I looked again at this handsome group. The photo dating from a time still very close to me. Touched my heart.
Fräulein Krohmeier, it might help to explain to your grandmother that her anger is misdirected. The bombing was Churchill's idea.
Bombing? These people weren't bombed, they were gassed.
I re-examined the photo. The man, the woman, the boys. None of them looked like criminals or gypsies, certainly not like Jews. Although, now that I was scrutinizing their faces more closely.
It may have been a mistake. I mean, these people.
Are you saying that if they were killed by mistake, then everything's okay?
If it was a genuine mistake.
No mistake. They were Jews. They were gassed totally legally. Because they didn't wear their stars. They were trying to keep a low profile, but a policeman tipped off the authorities. so they weren't just Jews, but illegal Jews. Happy now?
In fact, I was happy. I might well have overlooked these people myself. They looked thoroughly German. My first thought was to congratulate Himmler on his rigorous, meticulous... But I did not say this. I said nothing.
I can't go on working for you. I mean, why can't you just say I'm sorry about your grandmother? What went on back then? Sheer lunacy. Just like any normal person would.
But I am not a normal...
Yeah, I know. You're playing Hitler 24/7. So we can all understand what bastards they all were. So we can all make sure that nothing like that ever happens again. I mean, that's what we're doing, isn't it? Just say that, just for me.
Which bastards are you talking of?
The Nazis, of course.
Fräulein Krohmeier, you are gravely mistaken. These days, people like to assert that an entire Volk was duped by a handful of staunch National Socialists. But by 1933, a Führer was elected democratically who had laid bare his plans with irrefutable clarity.
So it was the will of the people that my Nan's family should die?
If you are seeking for who was responsible, you have two options. You have the Führer and no one else, or you have those who elected the Führer but failed to remove him. Ordinary people, Fräulein Krohmeier, who elected an extraordinary man. Would you outlaw elections?
Look, I might not understand as much about it as you do, but...
No.
You do think it's bad, don't you? What happened?
Me? Think of me as a modest architect, but the master builder, Fräulein, the master builder is and always must remain the German Volk.
And we must never
forget the strength that lies dormant within it, its capabilities. The German Volk can change the world.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I'd have loved to have gone on working here.
Fräulein Krohmeier, it would be hugely inconvenient for me to start all over again with a new secretary. If you agree, I will personally have a word with your grandmother about your remaining here.
I'm not sure.
Trust me, Fräulein. You owe me that, don't you? A little trust. I think you are expecting me, madam. Thank you. No milk. Well, perhaps one biscuit. Thank you. I think you know why I'm here.
I have never had cause to doubt my powers of persuasion. They used to say that whenever I was in the vicinity of Frau Goebbels, you could hear her ovaries clattering. As for the Jews, in their eagerness for assimilation, they were even more susceptible. Remember the Jewish fencer Helen Mayer at the 36 Olympics, so eager to fit in that she actually gave the Nazi salute? And now this frail grandmother, with her china cups and sterling silver.
Cake. I wouldn't have had that biscuit if I knew there might be cake. Thank you. Your granddaughter. What a worker. So intelligent, so eager to be of help. Indispensable. Everyone at Flashlight is so fond of her. Oh, you must be very proud.
That's all it took. And if she had any ideological misgivings... She chose not to raise them. It was as easy as greeting an old friend who emerges from a hot, dusty train journey and offering her a refreshing shower. Soon after that, they gave me my own show.
Look who's back, look who's here.
Each episode began the same way. They pipe in my specially composed theme song.
He hasn't been round, he hasn't come by. I don't understand it. Why, oh why? Look,
the opening titles play across the screen.
The Führer speaks, clips from old films, me visiting troops at the front, me watching a stormtrooper parade, then more recent footage of me in Berlin buying some rolls at a bakery, patting the heads of children in a playground. I sit at my desk, receiving the applause with a serious expression.
My fellow Germans, once upon a time in this country, the land could boast a healthy soil. Now, our land is soiled, contaminated with the poison of big capital, of international finance. Our guest today is an expert on German soil, the green politician, Renato Kunast. Welcome. Please, sit.
I'm delighted to be here, sort of.
You may well be wondering why I invited you.
Because no one else said yes?
Not at all. You are here because I need to plan for the future and will need a parliamentary majority.
Parliamentary majority?
For a takeover of power, yes, just as in 1933, and your party is a most suitable partner.
Now I am curious.
Oh, you are winking at the audience. You think this is a joke?
A joke? Why would I think that?
I feel that we have compatible visions for the future. Tell me, where do you see Germany in 500 years' time?
500?
Or 300 years?
I'm no prophet. I prefer to focus on the here and now.
But surely you have a plan for Germany.
Nobody knows where we'll be in 300 years.
I do.
Oh, really? Where will we be then?
Please observe, ladies and gentlemen, the Greens are seeking advice for their future plans from the Führer of the German Reich.
Now, now. The Greens will get by perfectly well without you.
So you believe. Tell me, how far into the future does your planning stretch? Let's make it easy for you. Where do you see Germany in a quarter of an hour?
If you insist, I see Germany as an environmentally friendly, high-tech country with a sustainable energy policy, mm-hmm. embedded in a peaceful Europe under the umbrella of the EU and the UN.
Will there still be an EU?
Of course.
Will the Greeks be in it? The Spaniards? The Irish? The Portuguese?
Who can say for certain?
But you are certain about your energy policy. And it happens to be identical to mine. Few or no imports, total self-sufficiency from renewable raw materials, water, wind. This is precisely what I was always calling for.
Hang on one minute. For completely the wrong reasons.
We are discussing sustainable energy. Are there good or bad windmills?
Of course not.
Which party passed laws to extend protected forests? Which party banned animal vivisection?
Meanwhile, you sanctioned hideous experiments on human beings.
Which human beings?
You know. The Jews.
Oh, well, interesting. But the Jews are no laughing matter. Well, we have found out many interesting things about your congenial party. Thank you, Frau Renate Kunast.
I could see Savatsky and Frau Bellini standing backstage, clapping, giving me the thumbs up. It felt wonderful. Providence is truly amazing. She arranges for a charismatic leader to be resurrected so that he may fetch up on the TV program of a Turkish buffoon, easily surpass this foreigner, and be rewarded with his own show. Then, just as this gifted leader is trying to establish a new political platform to define the key issues, to provoke, to inflame, Providence arranges that Fraulein Krohmeier knows nothing about razor blades.
Fraulein Krohmeier, my shopping list said safety razor, not this plastic apparatus.
Safety razor? I'm sure it's safe, mein Führer.
It was on these providential expeditions that fate opened my eyes as to what is really going on in Germany. Huh? Which I revealed during the next installment of my TV show.
The other day I went shopping. I haven't done this since 1925. Once upon a time, you went into a chemist's. There was a counter. Behind this counter was a shop assistant and the relevant goods. Now, There are shelves and more shelves, bright light, chaos. At first, I assumed the shop was swarming with sales assistants or informally dressed. Then I realized these were the customers. Every retail enterprise in our modern Germany is virtually unstaffed. Farewell, dedicated clerk. Hello, beeping machine. At first, I was appalled. How impertinent to make the customers do all the work. But then I saw the strategic benefit. By reducing the number of sales assistants, you can free up 100,000 to 200,000 troops for immediate deployment at the front, meaning that the new Wehrmacht must have an army of millions at its fingertips. Only it doesn't. Where are they, I wonder? Where is this unseen army of unemployed clerks and sales assistants? And who pays for them? The Volk, that's who. Not a huge sum, but enough to provide your unemployed Untermensch with a warm, dry apartment, cheap, frozen ready meals, and a white Russian woman providing hours of stimulation on his private computer screen. But I know, and you know, who is really responsible for this state of affairs. We all know who is responsible for everything dishonorable, degrading, shady. And perhaps next week, so you see, you must tune in next week, I will tell you.
I couldn't say it on television, not yet. But of course I meant our old enemy. The Jews had once more resolved to subvert the valor of our Volk. They own the factories that supply the ready meals. They disseminate the pornography. It's part of their master plan. But how to make this clear on television? How to point the finger without being hounded off the screen? Which is precisely what I was pondering as I walked back to my hotel. I turned into a side street, two men coming towards me. My first thought, high, tall, strong men, shaven heads, polished boots, swift as greyhounds, tough as leather, hard as steel. If you wish to enlist in the cause, you will be most...
Oi, you, Jewish bastard!
Think we're just gonna sit back, watch you insult Germany?
I removed my hat and showed them my face.
Back into the ranks, you vermin. This is who you're dealing with.
You sick bastard. First you get your face operated on, then you use it to stab Germany in the back.
Like being hit by a bullet. No pain, only speed. My head, my side, my arm, my groin, head, groin, arm, head. Getting dark. The English must have new artillery. How can they aim with such accuracy? Where is my dog? My faithful Foxen? Who turned the lights on? What is that? Connected to my arm. Other arm in plaster. Can't open eye on plaster side. Head thudding.
Herr Hitler?
Who's there? I rotate my functioning eye.
You're awake. Good. Don't worry. Your results are excellent. You might make it to 120.
Won't be long enough.
Now. You've got plenty of time. But you really ought to report this to the police.
I should strike back in my own way. Doctor, what about my voice? I am an orator.
Your throat is dry. Keep drinking.
How long will you keep me here?
Not more than a week or two. Try to get some sleep.
I was quite happy to follow doctor's orders, but the politicians of modern Germany had other ideas. Hitler, Adolf.
Herr Hitler, Renate Künast here from the Green Party.
Yeah.
Just checking, you don't actually belong to a political party.
Of course, my own.
I'm afraid your party's in hibernation, Herr Hitler. But seriously, have you thought about joining the Greens? We would welcome a man who has risked life and limb to oppose right-wing violence.
Oh, I must sleep. Hitler, Adolf.
I'm calling on behalf of the Animal Protection Party.
Sign me up. Hitler, Adolf.
I do, Pirate Party here. Total respect for your advocacy of extreme independence of the state.
Dude, I am nobody's dude. Hitler, Adolf.
Hello? BIG here. We're a minority party, Muslim Integration. We believe that if the beating up of foreigners is outlawed, the beating up of Germans must be outlawed too.
I should never wish to live in a country where the beating up of foreigners was outlawed.
Is that supposed to be a joke?
At that moment, a woman appeared at the door.
Hello?
My name is Goltz. Beata Goltz.
Then she uttered the name of a well-known German publishing house.
I was just wondering whether you'd like to write a book.
I already have.
I know. More than 10 million copies. Very impressive. But someone with your talent ought not to leave a gap of 80 years. It's time the Führer produced another report on his view of the world. A brand new book. Here, I can offer you the following.
Even in this suspect euro money, it was a generous deal.
We only make one condition. We want you to tell the truth.
I suppose you'll be wanting to know what my real name is.
No, no, no. You are Adolf Hitler. What other name would we put on the book? Moses Hauptgewax?
Schmull Rosenzweig. I like you.
We're not after a humorous book. The Führer doesn't make jokes. Would you like to think about it?
I'll do it.
Okay, then. See, Kyle.
Large flakes of snow falling outside the window. In 1943, this would have driven me mad. Now I know that destiny is giving me a second chance. There is still pain in my ribcage, but it is abating day by day. And my voice, as the doctor predicted, it's improving day by day.
May we come in?
Ah, please do, Fraulein Krom. Keep Frau Sawatzki. And Herr Sawatzki. Oh, how does it feel to be a father-to-be?
I can't quite believe it.
20 years from now, a strapping member of the Waffen-SS will be saluting us all.
Still in character, mein Führer.
We were wondering, how would you feel about spending Christmas with us?
Oh, no, thank you. It would be too much bother.
No bother. You're practically one of the family.
Listen, before I forget, we've got you a new prime-time slot and a brand new studio, lots more money, and here, a new design for the logo.
Thank you.
We'd better go shopping for the pram. You get lots of rest now. Mwah.
I leaned back on the pillow. A new book in the works. A new program in a better studio. I could launch a propaganda offensive. Start a movement. And best of all, there would be no need to join other parties. It is now time, you steadfast listeners of the British Broadcasting Propaganda Corporation, for me to reveal my real purpose in addressing you. Ask any politician these days and he will tell you bluntly that wars are no longer necessary. The same ludicrous argument people were peddling back in the 30s. But look at our planet. It is finite. Meanwhile, the number of people living on it keeps growing. There are now 7 billion of us. Thanks to me, of course. Had I not waged war, there would be 8 billion, most of them Russians. Think about it. If the world's natural resources become too scarce for the global population, which race will get hold of them? The nice one? No, the strongest. So,
Obviously, my brief now is to gain control of the world's resources for the superior race, which I intend to do in reconciliation with our closest ally, namely England. It remains a mystery to me why our relationship never worked out. How many more bombs would we have had to drop on your cities before you realized the truth? Germany is your friend. Now, a dispassionate observer might say that we do not need England at all. Your sick island is barely a world power anymore. But I can help you become great once again. I'm back, and it's time we acted as one. You should see Herr Savatsky's new logo. It will help us to win over the young people and the pirate voters. My face in profile on every coffee mug, every t-shirt, every keyring, with the enticing slogan. It wasn't all bad. We can work with that, can't we? Are you with me? Are you? I'm here, England, on the mend, raring to go, just waiting for your call.
In part two of Look Who's Back, Adolf Hitler was played by David Threlfall, Fräulein Krohmeier by Alex Tregear, Frank Savatsky, Richard Milan, Joachim Zenzenbrink, John Norton, the kiosk owner, Ben Crow, Carmen Bellini, Caroline Berry, and Renata Künast was played by Deborah Baker. Other parts were played by Sargon Yelda, Leo Wan, and George Watkins, with music composed by Clive Swift and arranged by Stuart Morley. Look Who's Back by Timur Vermesh was adapted for radio by Marcy Cahan from the translation by Jamie Bullock. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Helen Perry. He was a talented impressionist.
There was two kinds of Margaret Thatcher. There was that one.
And then there was the one she'd do in the Commons.
Who then created an array of classic comedy characters.
Knowing you, the impressionist.
When I see Steve do Alan Partridge, it's Steve at his worst in real life.
Before leaving his mark on the big screen.
That film, actually, above all the things I've done, is the one that is closest to my heart.
BBC Radio 4 Extra talks to Steve Coogan and those who've worked with him about his life and career. Knowing Steve, knowing you. Next Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7.